Deng is a nurse at the University of Utah Hospital. He says his patients always ask him where he's from.
A lot, every day.
In his white scrubs, Deng does stand out. He's very dark-skinned with a thin build. And people can't get past his accent.
Then I would say, oh, well, everyone do have accent, you know. We from Utah have our own accent. So is the Texas. So is people from Mississippi. Different accent. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. But I always say I'm an American, but originally from Sudan.
Deng is a refugee from Sudan, he tells them, although he admits that many of his patients, who are rural, older, and white, maybe struggle to understand what he's saying. Many have no idea where Sudan is. But Deng says his job is to understand his patients.
I try to understand who my patient is. You know, from my own life experience, you know, if somebody's, they've been in hospital for a long time, they were thinking to do this and this, and now here they are stuck in the hospital because they are so sick. I try to think about that and how, if I were one of those patients, how would I feel really?
Deng's journey from refugee to nurse began when he was a small boy in South Sudan. Although back in the early 1990s, Sudan was just one country. His ethnic origin is Dinka, a rural pastoral people who farm and keep cattle. He says Dinka people like to dance and wrestle and sing. They're a welcoming culture, he says. But when civil war swept through his village, Deng, along with thousands of other young Sudanese boys and girls, most just 6 or 7 years old, was forced to run.
I just remember about the hardship and how we all struggle as little kid together, struggling to cross the rivers. Some of us, like myself, I got help by other people, but because I was little, but a lot of people were, you know, it was just hard to get food, fearful of life because we were being bombarded by airplane, attacked by government militias, and you know, you get worn out after many days of being followed and not having enough food in your system.
Although this happened several decades ago, Deng's memories are still vivid and defining. He and the other lost boys, as they came to be called, were separated from their families, starving, desperate. Eventually, Deng and his younger brother wound up in a United Nations refugee camp called Kakuma in northern Kenya.
In compared to what I've been, you know, the struggle, it was better.
But Deng remembers having to wait in long lines for food distributions or to pump for water. Classes were taught in the camp, but the teachers weren't well trained. Sometimes they didn't show up. He wasted a lot of time. Altogether, Deng survived in the camp for 10 years. But then opportunities came for him to get out. The U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Services, INS, began interviewing prospective refugees in the camp. Deng underwent a stringent process of vetting, including a series of 4 long screening interviews. And then one day, a paper was posted with a list of names.
And so I see my name. I am going to Salt Lake City, Utah. I was so happy. Yes.
But what did you, at that, did you know what Salt Lake City was?
No, the, I think the officer that interviewed me for INS said that it was really a nice place. She said that it was a family-oriented place, so you will enjoy it. And she mentioned that, so I was happy about it. Yeah.
Several weeks later, Deng and his brother arrived in Utah. He remembers it clearly. It was May 9th, 2006, at 11 p.m. He remembers a woman named Tanya with the International Rescue Committee met them at the airport.
And she took us the following day to the Department of Workforce Services, so we can get you know, Social Security and food stamp.
And then you were given an apartment.
Yeah, we were given an apartment, and yeah, and then for I think after we got the job, we paid by ourselves. Then after that, yeah, but they pay the first 2 months, I think.
The IRC says most refugees, we're talking 85 to 95%, managed to become self-sufficient after the first 6 months. Deng and his brother got jobs as cashiers at Walmart. And it was not long after that that Deng decided to get into healthcare. Deng tells me that part of his ambition to become a nurse came from seeing his sister die of childbirth.
You know, if there was healthcare facilities like this, people who are well-trained that could help with giving blood and, you know, get anticoagulant like vitamin K that she needed desperately then, and the CPR could have helped her, you know, be alive now.
Deng says someday, if conditions improve and the opportunity is there, he wants to build a clinic back in Sudan.
When I came here, I feel I got the best opportunity anyone can ever get. I just thought to myself, you know, if I could do this, then I could do something that will help back home. So I wanted one day to build a clinic in my village and help people across the Sudan.
Like so many refugees blessed with a shot at the American dream, Deng feels compelled to give back. And he's never fully broken away from his earlier life. Deng's mother, along with his niece and nephew, still live in the Kakuma refugee camp in Kenya. South Sudan today is still too dangerous. It became its own country in 2011, and at the time, people were hopeful that things would get better. But a few years later, fighting broke out again. New waves of lost boys were sent fleeing the violence. Deng traveled back to South Sudan in early 2017 to see family and friends, some he hadn't seen in over 20 years. He says he was happy to see them.
But I was sorry they are still, you know, they can't still get the opportunities to get education, to be able to come home and get food, you know. Not only my family, but people of South Sudan, you know, because they've been through a lot. And I just feel like when I was younger, in the younger age of little kid that are there right now, I can't imagine being, you know, always in fear or having lost my dad, you know, or having lost my mom, or having lost my sister, or people are just sitting there and nothing to eat, not enough to eat, or we don't have, you know, and I'm not going to school, you know. It's hard, you know. It's just very emotionally consuming.
As a U.S. citizen, Deng wants to petition for his mother, along with his niece and nephew, to join him in the States. But he says it's complicated. The State Department allows him to petition for his mother, but not his niece or nephew, because they're considered extended family.
But my niece and nephew, like I told you, my sister died when she gave birth. Like 3 days later, she died, and my mom helped breastfeed that little daughter. And here she is, a grown-up girl now, and then they were been with my mom most of the time during the course of the war.
I see.
So they are like her kid, and because there is no adoption in Africa, but here they wanted me to say that they are adopted kid. And it's kind of like harder, but they always there with my mom, so. But I cannot bring my mom without them, you know, because it's...
She wouldn't leave without them.
Things recently have gotten more complicated with the Trump administration's proposed travel ban and the harsh rhetoric about refugees. But Deng is hopeful that all of this fear towards refugees will pass. And for now, he keeps his head down. When he's not studying to earn his bachelor's of science in nursing, he's working long hours at the hospital, saving money, and comforting his patients.
For me, being here, it's a blessing, and I am happy, thankful to American people. They did that, and the organization that think about bringing refugees here, because it's only one chance you can give somebody who doesn't have a home or a place to live or just wanted a better chance, you know, a better chance, somebody who hasn't had that opportunity.
For Utah Public Radio, I'm Ross Chambliss.
The UPR original series, Crossing Borders, is a year-long storytelling project between UPR and the USU Office of Global Engagement, providing services for international students and scholars, and facilitating study abroad opportunities for students and faculty. Details at globalengagement.usu.edu. And to explore more of the Crossing Borders series, head over to upr.org.